Welcome back, Deep Divers. Today, we're going to dig into something a little different. Project Human Resource Management.
All right.
You brought this to the table, and it's
Yeah.
got me thinking.
Okay.
Isn't this something like we should just inherently know how to do already?
Right.
Making the best use of people on a project just seems kind of fundamental.
It is.
Right.
Yeah, especially I think, in today's world where projects are so complicated and sprawling, and there's so many moving parts
Yeah.
that you really can't afford to skimp on this area.
Right.
And what I find so compelling about this particular guide that you've shared
Yeah.
is that it really focuses on the human element of it.
Okay.
It's not just about, checking off boxes and going through processes.
Right.
It's about recognizing that, a project's success ultimately hinges on the people driving it.
So we're looking at this guide, and it's called Project Human Resource Management. I'm
Yeah.
not gonna lie, it sounds a little like
All right.
buttoned up,
It does sound a little formal.
a little intimidating even.
Yeah.
So before we really get into it,
Okay.
can we just clarify something?
Yeah.
Is this just like a fancy way of saying managing a team?
Right.
Like, why does it have its own, special category in this whole?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's something that I think,
Okay.
a lot of people maybe misinterpret
Okay.
when they hear the term.
Okay.
Because it's not just about, telling people what to do.
Right.
It's about, approaching your team as really the heart of the project
Okay.
and not just, cogs in a machine,
Okay.
right?
Okay.
So it's like, think about it this way.
Okay.
If you were building a house,
Okay.
you wouldn't just hire, any random group of people
Right.
and just expect them to create your dream home.
No, absolutely not.
Right.
I would want to make sure I had, electricians and plumbers and
Exactly.
carpenters and
You want the right experts for the job.
yeah.
And it's not even just about their skills. You also want to know that you have people who are reliable, who communicate well, and ideally even share your vision for the kind of end product that you're going for.
Yeah.
And so that, in essence, is what Project HRM is all about,
Okay.
making sure you've got the right people with the right skills at the right time,
Right.
all working together well towards a common goal.
Okay.
And here's where it gets interesting. This isn't just the manager's responsibility.
Okay.
Everyone on the team benefits from understanding these principles.
That makes sense because if everybody understands what their role is, how they fit into the bigger picture,
Right.
then things are just going to run smoother. There's going to be
Exactly.
less, like,
Yeah.
stepping on toes and more high fives.
Less chaos.
Yeah.
And I think as projects have gotten, increasingly complex
Right.
with remote teams, specialized skills,
Yeah.
tighter deadlines,
Yeah.
it's even more important now to have that shared understanding from the get-go.
So, how does the guide break this whole process down?
Okay.
It talks about four key pillars of Project HRM. Okay,
Yes.
that sounds very
Monumental.
monumental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like any good structure, right?
Yeah.
These pillars are all interconnected. They all kind of support the overall, health and success of your project. And those four pillars are planning, acquiring, developing, and managing your project team.
Okay, so let's unpack those a little bit.
Okay. Yeah.
Planning
Yeah.
seems kind of self-explanatory.
You'd think so,
All
right?
right.
But you'd be surprised
Okay.
how often it's overlooked.
Okay.
Classic example, and they even talk about this in the guide, is, needing to find a graphic designer at the last minute
Oh, yeah.
because you need to create a presentation.
Yeah.
Proper planning means thinking about these things well in advance,
Yeah.
right? It's like making sure you have all the tools in your toolbox
Right.
before you start building. You want to make sure you've got all the right talent lined up, ready to go when you need them.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So acquiring the team then,
Okay.
that sounds pretty straightforward. You just hire people?
Right. It's
Yeah.
a little more nuanced than that
Okay.
because remember, we're not just, filling positions. We're building a team here.
Okay.
So acquiring in this context is about attracting and securing the best fit individuals
Yeah.
for your particular project.
Right.
It's about getting them excited about it.
Okay.
Making them feel like they're not just taking a job, but that they're joining, a mission.
So it's more than just a paycheck. It's
Yeah.
about instilling that sense of
Exactly.
and shared
It's
purpose.
about buying
Yeah.
into the vision.
And that's going to, I imagine, result in a much more engaged team
Yeah, absolutely.
or a more productive team.
More productive, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So you've assembled this like A team,
Okay.
right? You got all the right people in.
Yes.
And then it's like, what? Then the next pillar kicks in, which is developing.
Okay.
And this goes beyond just technical training.
Okay.
Which is still important.
Right. I would imagine it's more than just making sure everybody's got the latest software.
Exactly. Sure. The guide talks about investing in things like, you know, workshops on communication skills.
Right.
Conflict resolution, team building exercises.
Okay.
It's about equipping your team with not just the technical know-how.
Yeah.
But also the interpersonal skills.
Right.
That they need to navigate all the curveballs that come up.
Right, because these are people. These aren't just,
exactly,
you know, resumes and...
Yeah, it's about recognizing that,
yeah,
a team is made up of human beings.
Yeah.
And that's human beings work best when they can communicate effectively and resolve conflict constructively.
Right. And that brings us, I guess, to our last pillar here, which is...
The final pillar, managing.
Managing.
Yes.
Which is probably what most people...
That's right.
...when they think of this.
It's where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, this is what they think of.
That's right.
But it's not just about... you know, being the taskmaster and like cracking the whip.
Not about micromanaging.
Right.
It's about creating a culture of feedback and trust.
Okay.
And addressing issues.
Yeah.
Before they become major problems.
So being proactive rather than reactive.
Exactly.
Right. It's like they always say, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Exactly.
Speaking of prevention, the guide also gets into some more tactical advice.
Okay.
It outlines 10 instant solutions for effective project human resource management.
10 solutions.
Yeah.
Okay.
10 of them.
Sounds a little overwhelming.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
But I do think it's worth kind of highlighting a few that really stand out.
Okay.
Especially in light of what we've already talked about.
Sure.
And remember, these aren't meant to be like,
right,
hard and fast rules or anything. These are more just like,
yeah,
conversation starters to get you thinking about how you can apply this stuff to your own projects.
Right. Guidelines.
Yeah.
More than anything else.
Okay. So the first one that the guide mentions is clearly defining roles and responsibilities, which seems
fundamental.
Yeah. Right.
Pretty basic.
You would think so.
Right. Well,
but it's surprising how often that gets missed.
Totally.
Yeah.
Have you ever been part of a project where it was just like, no one knew?
Of course.
Who was doing what?
Yeah, it's like that game we all played as kids where you whisper something in someone's ear.
Yeah.
And by the time it gets all the way around the circle.
Totally.
It's a completely different thing.
Right. It's like a game of telephone.
Exactly. And unfortunately, when you're talking about, you know, project deadlines.
Yeah.
And deliverables, it's not just a funny game anymore.
No.
It can cause real problems.
Right, because then you have people duplicating efforts or missing deadlines because they thought somebody else was doing it.
That's right.
It's just a mess.
Yeah. You get a lot of frustration.
So this is about like nipping that in the bud right from the get-go.
Yeah.
Right up front.
Everybody knows.
Crystal clear expectations.
And exactly. Who's doing what?
Who's responsible for what? Who has the authority to make decisions? How does each person's role contribute to the big picture?
Right. So it's taking that game of telephone and bringing it back to like a single clear message.
Exactly.
That everybody understands.
I like that.
And this kind of goes hand in hand with, I think, the next one that they mentioned, which is utilizing individual strengths.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Which I love this one.
Yeah.
Because I think we all have things that we are really good at naturally.
Absolutely. We all have our strengths.
But so often they get like
overlooked.
Yeah.
Or underutilized.
Yeah. Or we're told like, oh no, you should be doing it this way.
That's right.
And it's like, but I'm so much better at this other thing.
Exactly. And this solution that they talk about encourages managers to look beyond just, you know, skills and experience on a resume.
Yeah.
And really try to understand,
right,
what makes each person tick. What are they passionate about? What are they naturally drawn to?
Like, what are their superpowers?
Yeah. What gets them excited to come to work every day?
Right.
Because if you can tap into that,
yeah,
then you're going to get so much more out of them as a team member.
So instead of trying to, like, fit a square peg in a round hole, you're figuring out...
Exactly.
Okay, how can we utilize this unique shape?
How do we make the most of everybody's,
yeah,
unique skills and talents?
You might have somebody who's like not a great coder.
Right.
But they're amazing at explaining tech to like a layperson.
Exactly. And that's gold.
And that's so valuable.
It is, because you need to be able to communicate with stakeholders.
Right.
Who may not be as technically savvy.
Right.
And if you have someone who can bridge that gap,
yeah,
that's invaluable.
That's amazing. So figure out what those things are and then create roles around that.
Exactly. Create roles that allow people to shine.
Which, again, is like
Easier said than done.
Way easier said than done. How do you even, I mean, not everybody's walking around with like a flashing sign above their head that's like,
Right.
I'm really good at this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit of detective work on the manager's part.
It does.
It does. And this is where that next solution comes in.
Okay.
Effective communication.
Communication,
yeah.
Which is like the...
The glue that holds it all together.
Yeah. The duct tape of teamwork.
That's a good one.
But also, just like duct tape, you can use it correctly.
That's right.
Or incorrectly.
There's a right way and a wrong way to communicate.
So this isn't just about like talking. It's about
exactly.
talking effectively.
It's about setting up clear communication channels, having regular team meetings.
Right.
And... most importantly, mastering the art of listening.
Because sometimes
yes.
the people who have the best insights are the ones who don't normally get to
That's right.
speak up.
Exactly.
So you got to create a space where they feel comfortable doing that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when people feel heard and valued,
yeah.
they're much more likely to be engaged in the process.
Okay. So we've got clearly defined roles, utilizing strengths,
right.
open communication. It all just seems like we're trying to create an environment where people feel
empowered.
Empowered.
Respected. Respected. Valued.
Yeah. Valued. Yeah.
That's right.
And when you create that kind of environment, then you're better equipped to deal with when those inevitable bumps in the road come up.
Absolutely. Because yeah. there will always be challenges and obstacles.
Right.
And that brings us to another one of the instant solutions that I think is worth mentioning, which is conflict management.
Oh, yes. Conflict, which, let's be real, is probably going to happen.
It's inevitable.
If you've got a bunch of people who are...
Especially when you have passionate people working together.
Yeah.
There are going to be disagreements.
I love that quote. That's
yeah.
like, if two people always agree, one of them isn't thinking.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's like, you need that little bit of conflict.
Exactly.
To actually...
Friction can be a good thing.
Yeah. To actually come up with the best solution.
It can lead to innovation.
Right.
To creativity.
So this isn't about like avoiding conflict altogether.
No.
It's just about how do we manage it effectively.
Exactly. It's about shifting your mindset from... conflict is bad.
Right.
To conflict, when approached constructively, can actually make us stronger.
So we should embrace those disagreements as like opportunities to learn and grow.
100%.
Right. So it's yeah. not about running away from those disagreements. It's about using them to make the project even better.
Exactly. It's about creating that space where people can disagree respectfully.
Right.
Where they can listen to each other's perspectives and ultimately come up with a solution that's even better than what they would have come up with on their own.
So it's like taking those different viewpoints and using them to like...
Yeah, leverage them.
Leverage them to get to like the best possible outcome.
Absolutely.
Okay, I like it. Mm-hmm. But even with the best communication and conflict resolution skills.
Right.
The guide also acknowledges that there are some like inherent challenges that come with this whole thing.
Of course, because it's not always smooth sailing.
Right.
There are always going to be bumps in the road.
There are always bumps in the road.
Yeah, and I think they do a good job of kind of outlining what some of those common challenges are.
Yeah, like what really stuck out to me was this whole idea of forecasting future needs.
Oh, yeah, that's so fun.
Because you're trying to build this perfect team, sometimes months in advance,
right.
for a project that could go in a million different directions.
Exactly. How do you know what skills you're going to need 6 months down the line?
Right. It's like you're putting together a puzzle.
Right.
But you don't have all the pieces yet.
And the pieces might change shape.
Exactly.
Along the way.
So how do you even begin to like wrap your head around that?
Well, I think it highlights the need for flexibility and adaptability.
Okay.
In project human resource management, you have to be willing to adjust your plans.
Right.
As the project evolves, as new information comes in.
Okay. And then there's always that one challenge that seems to rear its ugly head no matter what.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Schedule delays.
Ah, yes. Those dreaded schedule delays.
It's like the...
They're unavoidable.
There's like the common cold of project management.
Pretty much every project has to deal with them at some point.
They happen to everybody, and it's always at the worst time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it can really throw a wrench in your plans.
Especially if you've got team members who are juggling multiple projects or who have limited availability.
Absolutely. Well, it's like trying to fit puzzle pieces together while the puzzle's on fire.
It's like a game of Tetris where the blocks are falling faster and faster.
That's a good one.
And you're just trying to like keep up.
Right. And the guide emphasizes that these challenges aren't just logistical hurdles.
Right.
They have a real impact on team morale and motivation.
Totally. If people feel like they're constantly being pulled in different directions.
Exactly.
Or like the goals are constantly changing.
Yeah, they're going to get burnt out.
It's easy to get burnt out.
Exactly. And that's why I think this guide is so valuable, because it really emphasizes the importance of a strategic and adaptable.
Right.
And most importantly, people-centric approach.
People first.
People first. Exactly. It's not about just checking boxes.
Right.
It's about creating a culture where people feel supported and empowered and valued.
So after doing this deep dive today, what's like the key takeaway for you?
You know, I think it really boils down to this: investing in your team is investing in your project's success.
Okay.
It's recognizing that behind every task, behind every line of code, behind every brilliant idea, there are people.
Yeah.
And when you create an environment where those people can thrive,
yeah,
the project thrives.
I love that it's about fostering that sense of shared purpose and open communication.
Absolutely.
And just like a mutual respect that allows a team to really not just function, but to do amazing things.
Yeah, flourish.
To flourish, and for our listeners listening at home, what's one small change that you can make based on what we talked about today? Maybe it's having a conversation with your team about their individual strengths or trying out a new communication strategy. Even something small can make a big difference in the long run. So until next time, deep divers, keep those brains engaged and those projects running smoothly.